the Stanley Cup Finals, another off day. They will get back in action tomorrow, and there's all sorts of storylines going on. The St. Louis Blues, of course, with a huge victory in Game 4 to even up the series. It is now a best of three. And longtime beat reporter for the St. Louis Blues, now writes at NHL.com, Lou Korak joins us. And Lou, for a city and a franchise that hadn't been into a Stanley Cup Final in over 49 years, of course, had never won a Stanley a game in St. Louis until a few nights ago. Like, I could just imagine what it's like in St. Louis. The Blues fans have always been pretty good, but what is this, regardless of what happens in the next three games, or do you think it really does matter? Like, if the Blues can't finish this off, is it going to feel like even more devastation to this franchise, or is the appearance and finally getting some wins, going to be good enough?
I think the traction's going to be good, because I think what you've seen so far, and I was able to witness it for games 3 and 4, is it's really galvanized the city. I mean, if you walk into downtown St. Louis the past so many days, while, everything was going on, all the hoopla and the gala and the concerts and then the watch parties, I mean, there were thousands upon thousands of fans just flocking Market Street and the surrounding areas of downtown St. Louis. And everybody, I mean, everybody's in it for one reason and one goal, and that's to pull for the St. Louis Blues. I mean, yeah, I think there'd be some heartache there, sure. I mean, I think that's just natural for everybody. And, your ultimate goal is to win it all here. And, you're halfway there to doing that. But I think when the dust settles, I think this fan base can be proud of what this hockey team has done, where they've come from since January. I know I keep talking about that to everybody that I talk to, but basically you're coming out of the basement, so to speak, and to be able to be one of two teams competing for the title here is speaks volumes to me. And I think, when the initial dust would settle for this fan base, if they don't pull this off, I think there's a lot there to be proud of.
Lou, I asked this question yesterday in our show. We had a really good conversation. If the Blues win, who would you vote for the Conn Smythe?
That's a good question, because I think you've had so many players in each one of these series makes such a big impact. Early on, you would have thought it was going to be Jaden Schwartz. Then, you start thinking about Jordan Binnington and some of the numbers that he's put up. But I think for me right now, it's a close race. And just because Schwartz hasn't put up many points in this series, I think what Vladimir Tarasenko has done has really put this team on his shoulders and really taken off. I mean, this is a guy that has had, in past playoff series and years, he's put up decent numbers, but as the further the Blues went along in the playoffs, those numbers really dropped off. Well, it's been quite the opposite here in this series, and since really game one of the Western Conference Final, he's really taken off, and not just being able to be the go-to guy to score goals and help produce on the offensive end, but he's doing it at both ends of the ice right now. And I think just the fact that Craig Berube challenged him to be the best, to be a difference maker, to be a factor for this hockey team, I think he really took it to heart, and I think you're really seeing what kind of a player and how much of an impact he can have on this hockey club and on the games that they play in, and just be directly involved in the result and the difference between wins and losses. I think right now it's close, but I'm starting to lean on Tarasenko as my guy if the Blues win this.
And that's fair, and that's kind of what I said, because, you had other guys stand out, but then when you get to the Stanley Cup Final, just his performance so far in the finals might separate it. Alex Pietrangelo's play, like him and Colton Parayko, obviously are logging huge minutes. Edmondson has been a pretty good defender for them. His minutes were down significantly last game. Is he just struggling that much, Lou, or do you think he's got some sort of nagging injury?
I mean, we can always find out something different at the end, but I'm not seeing anything there. I just think he's having a tough time right now. And it looks like he's going to be out of the lineup tomorrow, and they're going to put Robert Bortuzzo back in. Based off of today's practice, Bortuzzo was skating with Vince Dunn on that third pairing. I just think that Craig Berube has that luxury that he has 7-8 guys that he can rely on that at no point in time. I mean, any of these guys can go in. Needless to say, Michael Delzato has not played a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs yet, but there's 7 guys there that have played on a regular basis, and anybody that he can turn to, and it really keeps these guys on their toes. Sure, would he want to be in the lineup? Yes, but it usually serves as a pretty good wake-up call for one of these guys whenever they are out of the lineup. It was Bortuzzo a couple of games ago, and I don't think it was necessarily for a poor performance. I just think they needed to get Vince Dunn back in there, and once he was ready to go, one of those guys had to come out. Well, now you're basically, you know, 7 guys are fighting for 6 spots, and somebody's going to be on the outside looking in, and right now it happens to be Joel Edmondson. And usually when he's put in these positions, he's responded well when he goes back into the lineup. You know, when that would be again, we don't know, because, you know, there's only up to 3 more games left in this entire hockey season. So, you know, we'll see how this lineup shapes out tomorrow night and if they're able to get the job done. But right now he's on the outside looking in.
When you look at this Blues team, and you talked about the turnaround from January, like I spoke about it when the Stanley Cup final started, Lou, that if you actually wrote this as a script for a movie, a lot of people might groan at certain times. Oh, yeah, they're in last place, and then suddenly they're going to go and win. And it seemed like a Hollywood script, right? Like you had a local guy score a huge overtime goal. You had a guy come really out of nowhere, wasn't even in their plans to be a goalie. He becomes the guy that turns thing around. Like this has literally been a Cinderella run for the St. Louis Blues. And you kind of get the sense that they're going to finish it off, because the last few games, like Boston, we know they're banged up. Marchand's a little banged up. Bergeron's banged up. Sedano Char now is banged up. And the Blues and all their other series, Lou, they seemed to get stronger later in the series. How come?
Well, because they're big, they're strong, they're physical. They just tend to wear on opponents. I mean, from games 5 through 7 in all of these playoffs, they're 6-1. I mean, that's pretty darn good. They seem to excel and get better as the series goes on. And, you know, you saw it in the last series with San Jose. They just eventually wound up grinding down on their top players. And an efficient forecheck, you can only take so many hits and so many punishing blows. And, I mean, you look at Erik Karlsson. Look, he's having surgery today. He wasn't healthy, and the Blues were going after him. I mean, hey, if you're going to be an opponent on the ice, you know, it's got nothing to do with taking liberties. It's got everything to do with doling out the punishment when you have the puck. Brent Burns was the same way. Eventually, these guys just wore down as the series went on. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets are a perfect example of it. I mean, that team there was built to physically wear you down. And the Blues turned the tables on them and eventually wore them down in games 5 and 6 of that series. They did the same thing to Dallas, San Jose, and you can almost start to see the remnants that they're doing it again in this series. Whether they're able to finish it off, we'll find out yet. But they seem to have that blueprint of, as the series goes on, they feel like they're equipped and built to go the gamut of these things and not just try to finish a series off in a 4-game or 5 games. You know, they're fully equipped to go 6 and 7 games. And if you want to go toe-to-toe with them, they're going to be right there dancing with you.
Lou Korak joins us, a beat reporter for the St. Louis Blues. Lou, do you think the Blues and Craig Bruwe already have a contract extension in place? They just don't want to announce it to distract anything from the Stanley Cup final?
That's certainly a possibility, but Doug Armstrong has indicated to us when he extended Jay Bouwmeester that he and Craig Berube were going to sit down and wait and do that when the season was over. Now, have they had that conversation? I do not know that yet. There's a possibility that they could have already done that and something is in place. But you know what? If you're Craig Berube, why not wait till the season's over? I mean, there's always certainly options for you to look at. But I think right now this is the best-case scenario for him and for the franchise. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit, when he got hired, I thought he was basically just going to be a stopgap here until the season was over and they were going to go after somebody with more of a pedigree, a bigger, a better name. And for what he's done here, I think it's pretty much a slam dunk that he's not going to go anywhere. But we'll see how this plays out. It would be quite a shock to me if he's not back in a permanent position with this hockey team. The players just absolutely love and respect him.
And Sammy Blais, really, you know, a sixth-round pick for the Blues back in 2014. He did get in, I think it was 10 games last year with the St. Louis Blues. Was a little banged up. Played 30-some games in the regular season this year and 26 in the American League. He's really become a major contributor for this team. Are you surprised by that, or was he tracking this way during the season? What, like, in those 32 regular season games, did he play with the same tenacity that we've seen in this playoffs?
I think it's just continued to grow the more experience he gets. And, you know, this is a guy that's come out of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And, you know, as well as I do, that's more known as guys that have offensive upside, and they really don't think about the aspect of checking and being responsible defensively. But, man, I'll tell you what, since he's come in game six against Dallas, he has no desire to relinquish his spot in the lineup. I mean, he's practically led the Blues in hits in every game since he's been in the lineup. He's learned how to adapt. I mean, yeah, he's got the offensive upside there, but I think he understands early in his career here he's going to have to, you know, fine tune and be a more complete, polished player. And he's certainly accepting of that. And I think that kind of goes back to Craig Berube being a straight shooter. He's honest with you, and he basically sits down with all these guys. He's a great communicator and tells you what he needs from you. And if you're not going to give it to him, you're not going to be in the lineup. Sammy Blais has accepted that. He understands what he has to do. He's played with David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly on that line, and most recently played with Tyler Bozak and Pat Maroon. And you know what you have to do if you're going to play on that line with Robert Thomas being out. You're going to have to forecheck. You're going to have to cycle. You're going to have to do some of that sandpaper work that he probably wasn't accustomed to doing when he was younger. So I think it's a good story, and he understands that this is the way he's got to play if he's going to extend his NHL career.
Lou, I really appreciate it. Quickly, looking to the offseason, and you got Binnington, who's an RFA, Joel Edmondson's an RFA, Blaze, you know, Sundquist, Fabry, Barbashev. UFAs, though, are Patrick Maroon and Carl Gunnarsson. What kind of numbers are you expecting for Jordan Binnington, and does that mean Jake Allen is virtually a lock to get traded?
I would think so. I think in that situation there that you almost have to be a little bit careful. You may want to give Binnington one of those. He's played enough games, obviously, so he's going to be an RFA. Maybe you give him that bridge type of a contract to, go out and prove himself. Because as great a story as this is, are you going to be able to sustain this for the long haul? Can you get the consistency out of this? As far as Jake Allen's concerned, that's another story, because I think they've respected what he's done for this franchise. But if he were to go to them and ask for a trade, I think they would grant it to him just to give him a chance to maybe go get a fresh start as being a number one elsewhere. But, I mean, he's got 2 years left on his contract and a $4.35 million cap hit. That's a pretty big hit for somebody to try to take on. And I'm not sure that the Blues are in a position where they would want to retain some of that salary. So those are some interesting questions moving forward. But as far as a guy like Binnington, I think a bridge contract is the way to go. And I think that would be satisfactory to both sides, because it's still going to keep Binnington in that mindset of they're wanting me to continue to prove myself. I'll prove myself with a short-term deal and then cash in later on down the line.
Lou, great stuff. Enjoy a night in Boston. We'll talk to you again. Appreciate your time.
All right. Okay, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.